Well, it's certainly good to be with you this morning. Thank you so much for the opportunity to be a part of your missions conference. And we have just been, my wife and I, so pleased to be able to be here. And we just pray for the conference that it may go well, that the Lord may be among you, among us, and that he may do great things in our hearts this week. And it's interesting that as I looked at the mission theme, of course, I knew what it was, but then I did not know the verse until I came in this morning. And I thought, well, that the Lord knew what he was doing. And my text this morning is in Matthew chapter 9, if you'd like to turn there with me. The first 13 verses I would normally read, but have just been read in our hearing. And so I'm going to pick up, if I might, reading at verse 18, and then we'll come back and we'll hit on different highlights of chapter 9. Chapter 9 is a very active chapter, not just for the disciples. I don't see some of the things that they're doing, but I see the main person who is active in Matthew chapter 9, and that is our Lord. And I think that is a true example for us in ministry, as we seek to go forward for him and as we minister for him. He was our role model. And by the way, he ought to still be our role model. He ought to take precedence over football players and baseball players and all different kinds of sports figures. There is no better role model than Jesus. And so as we look together in the scripture this morning in Matthew chapter 9, if you would read along with me, in verse 13, down verse 18. I'm going to read verse 18 down to the end of the chapter, if we might. While he spake these things unto them, behold, there came a certain ruler and worshipped him, saying, My daughter is even now dead, but come and lay thy hand upon her, and she shall live. Take into consideration all of the things that have been done up to this point and the activities of what the Lord has done. In verse 19, and Jesus arose and followed him, and so did his disciples. And behold, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years came behind him and touched the hem of his garment. For she said within herself, If I may but touch his garment, I shall be whole. But Jesus turned him about, and when he saw her, he said, Daughter, be of good comfort, thy faith hath made thee whole. And the woman was made whole from that hour. And when Jesus came into the ruler's house and saw the minstrels and the people making a noise, he said unto them, Give place, for the maid is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn. But when the people were put forth, he went in and took her by the hand, and the maid arose. And the fame hereof went abroad into all that land. And when Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him, crying and saying, Thou son of David, have mercy on us. And when he was come into the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus said unto them, Believe ye that I am able to do this? They said unto him, Yea, Lord. Then touched he their eyes, saying, According to your faith be it unto you. And their eyes were opened, and Jesus straightly charged them, saying, See that no man know it. But they, when they were departed, spread abroad his fame in all that country. And as they went out, behold, they brought to him a dumb man possessed with a devil. And when the devil was cast out, the dumb spake, and the multitudes marveled, saying, It was never so seen in Israel. But the Pharisees said, He casteth out devils through the prince of the devils. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Let's pray together, shall we? Father, as we come to you this morning, we are humbled at the very fact that we have the privilege of holding your word. of the very fact that we have the opportunity to read your word. And the mind to be able, that is sound, to be able to assimilate and understand the word of God. And so, Father, this morning I ask that as we come together in this time of worship, that truly you would meet with us, that the Spirit of God may have full sway, and that we would allow you to have your will and your way in our lives, that we might be shown where we need to change, that we might be shown where we need to make the effort to move forward for the Lord Jesus Christ in the time that remains before your return. So, Lord, I ask for your guidance and for your direction this morning, and I just ask that may you may be honored and glorified in all that we do or say. We thank you that you are our sovereign God, but at the same time, you are our Heavenly Father. And that, Lord, you saw the multitudes, but you didn't just see them. Because the Scripture says there you were moved with compassion. Bless our time, I pray, in your word, we ask in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. How many people are there that are without Christ today? Your theme tells us there are untold millions. Where do the untold millions begin? Right at our door. There are untold millions. We have something that the world needs, and that is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have something that God desires for us to share, and that is the gospel of the Lord Jesus. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. We're told in Matthew to go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things. We're told in Matthew chapter 9 and verse 38 to pray ye the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. And then we look, as I began to think about this, and as I looked at Matthew chapter 9, and I see our Lord instructing his children, instructing the disciples, modeling for them of how to go and get the harvest. They were fishermen, weren't they? The highest degree that they had was their fishing certificate. That was all they needed. And I think that tells us that God can use us however we are. Whether we're a layman, whether we have a postgraduate education, it does not matter. God desires to use us. Matthew was a tax collector. Luke was a doctor. Of course, they were later on. But the disciples themselves, the majority of them were what? Fishermen. And Jesus comes to them and he says what? Follow me. I'm no longer going to make you a fisher of fish, but I'm going to make you fishers of men. And thus we see in Matthew chapter 9, the Lord modeling and working with the disciples. I don't believe the Lord ever did a miracle just because he desired to do a miracle. I believe that each miracle was a teaching experience for his children. What did the Lord give us eyes for? Eyes are very important to us, are they not? How many of you this morning, when you got into your car, you shut the door, you turned on the engine, maybe you had to back out of your garage or you just pulled off of the curb and just gone forward. You put your car in drive this morning. You're getting ready to come to church. Motor's running. You're sitting there. You got your seatbelt on, right? And you're sitting there and you put it in drive. And right as you push the accelerator, you close your eyes. Anybody do that? Of course not. Everybody else does that, don't they? No, we don't do that. Why? Because we need our eyes so we can see where we're going, correct? God desires for us to see where we're going. But what about seeing where we've been? Or even seeing, if you will, where we are right now spiritually in our Christian lives? As we said in Sunday school, there's a lot that needs to be done before Jesus returns. How many of you have heard this saying? You can't see the trees for the forest. Anybody ever heard that saying? Many of us have. I think that's true. Forests are large, aren't they? You look at an overview or an aerial view of a forest, it's huge. When you look at a multitude of people in a stadium, they're huge. You know, 75, 80,000 people, however people in the stadium's full, it's huge. But you know, the thing is, like with the forests are large, but there are a lot of different kinds of trees that make up a forest. Multitudes in a stadium, a ball stadium, or football stadium, baseball stadium, wherever, that crowd is huge. There's a whole lot of people in that stadium. And you don't have to look very far before they start getting fuzzy, right? And you can't begin to make them out. And you see them, and they begin to kind of just blend in, and you just have this multitude, this crowd of people. But can I say this? Every crowd is made up of individual people. Look at the crowd. You know what's in that crowd? All kinds of people make up that crowd. There are religious people there. There's those that are not religious. There's people that are healthy, people that are sick, people that are that know the Lord, people that don't know the Lord, people that are educated, people that don't have a lot of education, whatever the case may be. But I am so thankful this morning, folks, that Christ looks down from heaven today just as he sat in front of that multitude. And as Pastor said, many multitudes followed the Lord. But I am thankful that the Lord can sit in front of the multitude and can look past the forest and see the trees. What are you saying? He looks past the crowd. He looks past the multitude. And he sees the individual. That's you. That's me. And he can identify each one of us, right down to the very number of hairs on our heads, or lack thereof. He knows us better than we know ourselves, doesn't he? But in this passage of Scripture, what I want us just to see this morning is just a couple of things. I know that doesn't mean anything when it comes to a preacher saying, I only have 3 points. You know, Paul said finally, and he went on 2 or 3 chapters, you know, different things like that. Anyway, I just want us to see several things this morning. Number one is this: the Lord saw with commitment. The Lord saw with commitment. He was committed to see the need. The needs of the people, the needs of being rescued. I think in verse 9 there, where Matthew was called, and Matthew was collecting taxes. The Bible says at the receipt of custom, he was collecting taxes, and he knew of Jesus. His fame had gone before him, and Matthew had heard things about the Lord, but all the Lord needed to do at this point in time was to walk by where Matthew was and said, Matthew, follow me. Well, I have to think about it, Lord. No, that's not what he said. Look at what he says in verse 9. The Bible says he saw, Christ saw. So we have to see first, don't we? We have to see with our eyes. We have to hear with our ears, which has to then get to our brain or to our head. As Pastor said earlier, we have to hear the word so that we can understand the word. So it's through the ears to the brain. By the way, it's the brain that hears, not the ears. As the signals go to the brain, and then it's got to go from the brain to the heart. And then it works out, I believe, through the hands of our lives in ministering for the Lord Jesus Christ. And here's Matthew. Jesus said, follow me. And Matthew did what? The Bible says in verse 9 there that Matthew arose and followed him. The Lord saw his need. Now, Matthew was probably not an honest tax collector, nor was Zacchaeus. And God said, I need you. And Matthew follows him. You see, the Lord sees their need for a Savior, most of all. We have a need. Our most important need is for a Savior. That's why Jesus died for us, that we might be reconciled to God. And so I look here in this chapter and I think of all of these things that have transpired in Matthew chapter 9. And I just want to hit a couple of highlights here as Jesus' commitment to see the need of the people. The lame man, if you look at Matthew chapter 9 there in verse 2, and I think of the palsied man, and I think of the need that this man had in his life. And here he was, he could not walk, he could not do anything. And so his four friends desired to get him to Jesus. Jesus was meeting in a house. There was he was speaking to a crowd in the house. The house was packed. But these men knew that if they could get this palsied man to Jesus, that Jesus could heal him. Jesus could take care of him. And so they set out to convince the palsied man to take him to Jesus. They take him to the Lord. They go up on the roof of the house. They tear up the tiles. They probably knew whose house it was, but it didn't really bother them. And they tore up the tiles on the roof of the house, and they began to let this guy down through on his cot in front of Jesus. Now, I don't know about you, but if I was standing there in front of the Lord in a packed house, and I saw a cot with a guy of about 120, 130 pounds coming down, I think I would still make room for him to come down, wouldn't you? And they did. And there he was. And look at the passage there in Matthew 9, verse 2. They brought him to a man. Behold, they brought to him, to Jesus, a man sick of the palsy, lying on the bed. And the reason for the healing of this man was because of what? We would say it was the faith of those four men who brought him to Jesus, right? The Bible says, and he seeing their faith. But wait a minute. You know, I got to thinking about that and I thought, man, that's well and good. But when I thought about that more, I thought, there's somebody else that's involved in this scene that had to have the faith as well to get to Jesus. And that was the palsied man. He had to have the faith that these guys could get him to Jesus, and that once they got him there, that the Lord... So there, what's involved, the key thing here is faith. I can't go witness. I can't go and tell others about Christ because what? One, I don't think we have faith enough to do it. But they had faith to get him to the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus desired for the disciples. He instructed them. He discipled them to teach them about faith in verse 2. And throughout Matthew chapter 9, though, we see that as well, that faith comes into play very often. But the Lord is indicating for them to go and do as Christ has done. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, Philippians 2:5, I think. Be minding the things that Christ is minding. And that's telling others about Christ, isn't it? That's being a gospel witness for him. Not necessarily just verbally, but in the very life that we live. Matthew 5:16 says, let your light, let your testimony, let your life so shine before others that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Listen, I am a firm believer that we are either drawing somebody to Christ or we're pushing them away from Christ. I don't think there's any in between. I think it's one or the other. So the question that comes to us this morning then is this: what am I doing? Which am I doing? Am I drawing someone to the Lord, or am I pushing them away from the Lord? Well, how do we react at the gas pump when somebody's too slow in front of us? How do we react at the cash register when there's somebody in front of us and they have a $55 grocery bill and they want to pay for it in all pennies? Yeah, that'll get it, won't it? It's like, you're kidding me. You ever prayed, Lord, give me patience? That would be the time, you know? The Lord would be working on our patience. But you see his commitment to see. He saw the needs of the palsied. He saw the needs of Matthew. He saw the needs of the woman with the issue of blood. The need might be physical healing, but the need prior to that is spiritual healing, which comes only through the Lord Jesus Christ. Secondly, we see that he sees with compassion. He not only sees with commitment to what he is doing, but with compassion. In verses 22 and 23, we read there about the woman with the issue of blood. But you see, he had the compassion to understand the need. He knows our needs. Has there ever been a time in our lives where sometimes we think, now, Lord, you know, I don't know if you remember or not, but I have a need up here. It's not, listen, there's never a time when the light bulb comes on with God. He's always there. He knows. And he has compassion to see and understand our needs, but also to feel the need, to heal the need, but to love the needy. How many of us love our tax collector? How many of us love things that are going on in our government? How many of us love those things that are going on in our own neighborhoods, the drugs and the abductions and things that are going? We don't love any of it, do we? But wait a minute. Let me ask you this. How many of us love what's going on at the southern border? I mean, we could keep on going, couldn't we? I don't love it. I don't like what's wrong down there. And I don't like the fact that what they are doing is wrong. But here's my question to follow that up. Is these folks that are coming into our country, what are we as God's children going to do about it? By the way, you have some in York. There's in Hanover. They're all over our country. If they come in the right way, I'm fine with it. And we're all like that, I'm sure. But here's where I'm trying to go with this. Is they're here. Now, what are we going to do about it? Well, I'm going to try to get them out. That's not my point. You've lost my point if that's your mindset. The point is this. They need Christ. They're here. They need him. Well, somebody else can tell them about it. Then you need to get your heart right. You might have a neighbor who lives beside you in that situation, but they need Christ. Who are we going to tell? Who are we compelled to tell? The Lord compelled them to go to the highways and the hedges and to compel them to come in. Who are we going to tell? Only those people that we like? Only those people that we feel good to be around? No, now wait a minute. He came to seek and to save that which was what? Lost. By the way, every single one of us at one point in our lives was a lost person. Aren't you glad of that person who had the love in their heart, whether it be a family member or a neighbor or a relative, but they took the time to come to you and give you the gospel of Christ? Where would you be if they had not? You probably wouldn't be here. But then we get the mindset of, well, somebody else will do it. Can you guarantee me that? No. If God's put it upon our heart to do it, then it is, I believe, our responsibility to do it. And by the way, This is a command from God. You pray that God will send forth laborers. You go to the harvest yourself. You minister. By the way, how many of you here this morning were saved by a missionary? Or led, let me put it this way, not saved by. How many of us here this morning were led to the Lord by a missionary? It's a loaded question, by the way. You got it? Every single one of us was led to the Lord by a missionary. What do you mean? God called us to be missionaries. God called us to give the gospel. Isn't that what we do? Isn't that what we're told to do? Isn't that what we're responsible to do? Isn't that what we're trained to do? And so Jesus here had the compassion to see and to understand and to feel and to love. But we go on. He had as you think about that, I think of the two blind men followed the Lord. Here's the two guys, and they wanted to get to Jesus, didn't they? And the Bible tells us there, I believe it's down in verse 27. If you look there, it says, and when Jesus departed, two blind men followed him, crying and saying. Now, crying is not this aspect of, Lord, 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 wait, I want to talk to you. No, that's not what crying. What does he say? He says, thou son of David. They're crying out with a loud voice. They want the Lord to hear them. They don't want to get out of earshot of the Lord Jesus Christ. And they continue to follow him. Lord goes into somebody's home, and what do? They don't care. They can't see anyway, so you know, you can always ask forgiveness for doing it. But anyway, they follow the Lord right into the house, don't they? They are saying, you're not getting away from me. And they follow him in. Why? Because they are determined to get to Jesus. How determined are we to, number one, get to Jesus and get on our knees and give the Lord our heart and let the Lord work in our lives through him and be the minister that we need to be and the servant that we are required to be for the Lord Jesus Christ? It's not that somebody else can do it. It's the fact that God's called us to do it and we need to do it. Do we fail? Yes. But aren't you glad that God knows our frame? He knows that we're made of dust. He knows our failures, but yet he's a God of the second chance. He says, all you that labor, come to me and I'll give you rest. Learn of me. Let me lead you. Let me guide you. These guys, they got to Jesus. And when they got to the Lord, look what happens. And the Lord says to them, okay, fellas, you've made it. You're here. And he says to them, do you believe that I can do this? Now you have to understand, these guys are blind. They've never seen the Lord's miracles. They've only heard of what God has done. You with me? And the Lord says to them, do you believe that I can do this, having not seen? Do you believe? And what do they say? Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Look at verse 29. Then touched he their eyes, and look what he says to them. According to it, your faith, be it unto you. Wow. Well, how much faith did these guys have? I have no idea. But I do know this. They had enough faith, didn't they? You say, well, how can you say that? Because the Bible says that. And in verse 30, it says, and their eyes were what? Open as a result of their faith. When you go to talk to somebody about Christ and you desire to lead them to the Lord, do we pray before we go? Do we ask God to open our eyes, to give us understanding of what we're going to talk about, and to give them understanding and open their eyes to the needs that they have of the Lord Jesus Christ? He opened their eyes, and they saw. And he charged them, saying, see that no man. I always wondered why the Lord said that, because his following was massive. You know, his reputation was already out there. He had already been doing miracles. It's like telling a child not to touch a hot stove, you know, something like that. But their eyes were opened. A dumb man comes up next. Lord touches him, heals him, begins to speak. Can you imagine just continuously in this chapter? But as we move along, I want us to see something else. We see the Lord's, Jesus sees not just in seeing, but he sees in moving. Okay? He sees in moving. In other words, it is action with the Lord Jesus Christ. The whole chapter. He moves and does and models with his disciples of what they are to be doing. So he's an active example. We could put it that way. And he was willing to give his all. I mean, did he not give his all as he went to the cross of Calvary? Certainly he did. He gave it all. And we find here in look at verse 36, we come down to. He's been going about teaching and preaching and healing and all of these things. But I want you to notice it's Jesus teaching and preaching and then healing. It was all for a purpose. And by the way, we are here for a specific time such as this, such as right now. We are here with a purpose. We are here for a purpose. And it's to proclaim Christ. But look at the command that he gives then. In verse 36. So he finishes up with this command. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion. That word moved is motivated to action. Because they fainted, they were broken down, and they were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. It broke his heart. You know, John tells us that the Lord wept, but the Lord wept many times, I'm sure, of which we don't have an account of. We have he commands us to see just as he saw, not as God, but to see as he sees. What do we see when we see the multitude? What do we see when we see people walking down the street? They're part of the untold millions that are walking all around us. And what are we doing about it? We're hoping that somebody else will talk to them. We're hoping that somebody else will give them a tract. We're hoping that somebody else will come along and disciple them or instruct them and just help them along, whatever their need may be. I don't know. But if we see them and God touches our heart, then we are to be the one who gives the gospel. We're to be the one to give a tract. We're to be the one to talk to them about Christ. People know whether we're real or not. And it doesn't take people long to tell if we're real or not. Or if we're just doing it because we have to do it. Many years ago, I was director of the Winchester Rescue Mission down in the same city where Dr. Callahan is today. And you know what? Those guys at a rescue mission are there for one reason. They're beaten down. They've lost everything. They've lost their families. They've lost their wives. They've lost everything, you know? I've seen professional ball players, doctors, lawyers come through there with nothing. And they can tell within about 15 minutes of your first visit whether you're there because you want to be there or whether you have to be there. In other words, they know whether you love them or not. If somebody doesn't see they care, oh, wait a minute, verse 36, the compassion, we're not going to get through to them. And really, it's not us getting through to them, it's us using the Word and letting the Holy Spirit of God get through to them and give them understanding. But we are the instrument that God desires to use. Jesus says, we are to go and do likewise. when he had compassion upon them, he moved. He was motivated to action. And we see it throughout chapter 9. And in order to see, we must get into the Word of God. We must pray. So there we have it. Do we see? So the question this morning is simply this: do we see as God sees? Are we willing to see as He desires for us to see? Are we willing to have the compassion that He has for the multitude? By the way, we're part of the multitude, and He had compassion for us. Remember, we're the trees in the forest. We're the individuals in the crowd. But He looked, as the songwriter said, He looked beyond my fault, and He saw my need. And my need's Jesus. It's up to us to make the commitment to God as to what He desires for us to do with His Word. The Spirit of God woos us and seeks to draw us by the still small voice. And we need to answer that wooing of the Spirit of God. We need to make the necessary commitments with the Lord, and we need to do it today. We need to do it now. So many times folks will come to a church service and they will hear the speaker. And by the way, thank you for the great songs and the great special music. I thoroughly enjoyed that. But sometimes if we're not careful, we'll leave that in the pew when we walk out the doors. And that ought not to be. We need to make the commitment not to man, but to God. Because God wants all of us, I believe, to see with His heart. And we need to start today. Folks, listen, God has made us who we are and placed you and me where we are to use us as we are. Servants for Him. There are untold millions dying. What was it I heard the other day? Two people are dying every minute in the world. Two people. Every minute. That's 120 people an hour. What are we doing about it? You're starting your missions conference. Let's pray that truly God will open our eyes that we may see. But not just that we may see, but that we may be moved, motivated to act, to have the compassion of the Lord, and motivated to act upon that compassion. Father, You are a thrice holy God. You are the one with whom we have to do. And so, Lord, I pray this morning that as we come to You in this closing time of this service, the blessings of the songs that have been sung, the special music, the hymns, I pray Your word, Father, as it has gone forth, that, Lord, You might work in our hearts and cause us, if we begin to dry up, rekindle the fires in our hearts for the lost. Lord, we desire You to use us. And Father, I pray that it may begin this day. Lord, I would love to see and hear revival break out from North Hills Bible Church around to the country, around the world. You can do it. But Lord, we must be willing to allow You to, and it starts with us telling others about Jesus and serving You. Lord, I pray that you would help us to not leave this morning without making the commitment we need to make for the Lord Jesus Christ. And I pray that if there's one here that does not know you as personal Savior, that today might be their great day of salvation. May we not put off tomorrow what can be done today because we do not know what tomorrow brings. Scripture tells us our life is but a vapor, appears for a little time and then vanishes away. We pray that you would bless in this time in Jesus' name. Amen.